Hello and welcome back to the Smitty Sports Talk Podcast. I'm here again with my good friend, Connor Cavanaugh. Great week one of football. Exciting to be back. It's been a long time. I know we say that every time. Football comes back every fall, but it really is the best time of the year. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It really is the best time of the year. We saw some really weird outcomes in week one, which you tend to see. But just in general, really great to have football back, and I'm excited to talk it.
Yeah, absolutely. You want to jump into this Bills-Rams game? Because it kicked off with probably two of the best teams in our league, with the Super Bowl favorite Bills, definitely, and the Super Bowl champions, the Rams. So anything that stuck out to you first that you want to talk about, just that you're like, wow, a big takeaway from just the Bills-Rams game?
I have one big takeaway on both sides. Number one, ooh, Josh Allen looked really good, and I think we kind of all expected that. I think we all know at this point what Josh Allen is, but it was nice to see him go into SoFi week one against a really good Rams defense and just continue to show it for us. So it is only week one, but Josh Allen did look really good. And then on the other side for the Rams, it seemed to me that they had a very stagnant offense on Thursday night. It seemed like if it was Cooper Kupp or bust. And I feel like that is not going to be a good way for them to win games this year, especially after the year that Kupp had last year. The defenses are going to be game planning for Cooper Kupp, so they need to get Robinson involved. Cam Akers didn't get a single yard on Thursday night.
I can't believe it.
They need to get him involved. There needs to be more than Cooper Kupp. It looked like a stagnant offense for me. Again, it's only week one, but that was my takeaway.
Well, I'm going to say one thing about the Bills offense. Maybe not just off Bills offense because it is early, and a lot of other teams scored 30. I mean, a couple other teams scored 30 points. But to me, it just looked like the Bills came out. They were more prepared. They were more ready, more ahead of the game, like ahead of the jump. Just they weren't like sluggish off the start. They were ready to go. It seemed the Rams, like you said, were stagnant. They were a little all over the place. The turnovers, just, you know, miscommunications, throws a little, Matt Stafford didn't look too great. He wasn't even going to play. But it was a question in the air that he might not play.
Yeah.
Good thing he played. But it didn't look too great. And the Rams, they'll be fine, but 10 points is not good. And it's not what you want to see from your Super Bowl champion, especially with that offense. The caliber of that offense is very good. But just my biggest takeaway is, again, probably Josh Allen, the MVP. Well, I can't say the MVP. The possible MVP. He was a runner-up last year, was he not?
Yep.
Yeah, runner-up MVP last year. That's where I was going with it. And he's on his way to a possible another chance at a MVP this year. He did have two picks, but both teams had two picks. It was sloppy in the first half. Turnovers all over the place, fumbles, interceptions. It was almost like back-to-back drives. Just, it looked ugly. We're like, well, we waited all year for this, and it wasn't off to a great start. But the Bills look good, man. I think, surprisingly, a lot of people were up in the air with Devin Singletary and how that run game was going to be. He looked pretty solid. He looked nice. They have their rookie, James Cook, who had a fumble early in the game, who will get some touches, I think, is a better option than Zach Moss as number two. But another guy in that offense. We always talk about offenses with the Rams and offenses like the Chiefs. And even, I mean, Bills are always have a great offense, but a guy that's stepping up huge is going to be a big leap, Gabriel Davis.
Yes.
That guy has a chance to just be 1A, 1B with Stephon Diggs. He's just as good. I don't know if you think he's just as good. I think he's just as good, for sure.
I think he's got a lot of potential, and I think one of the better things that the Bills did on Thursday night was they got three of their receivers involved in the end zone. Obviously, Diggs got in, Isaiah McKenzie got in for a touchdown, and then Gabriel Davis started it off. And I think it's really big for that receiving core to build confidence with Josh Allen, have Josh Allen feel good about throwing to them, because it's not going to be able to just be Steph Diggs all year. And Gabriel Davis is definitely the number two there. He's going to get a lot of looks, and I do think he's got some crazy good potential. So just got to keep giving him those touches in the end zone.
I agree. One guy that didn't really do nothing for me that I think he's the tight end. I'm going to go with Dawson Knox here, who had a potential last year, who was going to take that next big receiving tight end, like going to be one of those tight end ones that you'd love to have on a fantasy team, perhaps. But a guy that just really kind of looked a little bit all over the place, but didn't get involved. He had one catch for 5 yards all night in an offense that he was utilized a lot last year. So that was a little bit surprising to me. But again, we're going to overanalyze this week one. It is what it is. But the Bills routed them in the second half. They ran away with the game. They looked completely like the better team, and it wasn't close. It wasn't close at all. So that really excites me, and that's a great way to kick off the football season. You know, I mean, your Super Bowl favorites looking dominant, everyone gets excited, and now we have to go to a less Super Bowl favorites, two scrappy teams, I would say, and the Saints and the Falcons, which I personally think the Falcons' offense looked really good on Sunday, looked really good on Sunday. Cordell Patterson looked just as good as he's done in the past, and that offense was moving the football against a good Saints defense. That Saints defense that shouldn't be overlooked. They did lose Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to the Eagles, but it's a good defense, and it looked pretty good for Marcus Mariota and Cordell Patterson especially. What do you think?
Yeah, they looked really good in the first half. It took Jameis Winston a little bit in this one to get going, but we've seen this before. This is not a one-trick pony with the Falcons. They like to give up leads late in the game.
Mm.
And it was good to see Michael Thomas get involved. He didn't have a ton of yards on the day, but he did get in the end zone twice. And just as a football fan, it was good to see him back out there contributing.
Absolutely.
And to me, the Saints are the better team. Falcons played well in the first half, but better team prevailed. And I wouldn't expect to see anything less from Atlanta the rest of the year. This is what they do.
Yeah, no, this is what they are. They're really nothing much. They're just going to be a team that might have a couple good drives here and there, but in the end, better teams do win. They're not a good football team. They're below average team. I mean, you have Marcus Mariota as your starting quarterback, and they have Desmond Ridder.
Yep,
that's their backup. Yes. Who probably should get some time, at least hopefully at the end of the year, and get some run with the team. But I don't know. You know, I always liked the Falcons, because I was a big Matt Ryan guy. I was a big Julio guy. Big, you know, these big names receivers, they don't have anymore. Calvin Ridley's not playing. Yep. Now they have to have their rookies as their wide receiver one, right? Drake London is their number one wide receiver, which is crazy. So, for what they are, they did a decent job. And I think, again, that's just week one. You don't see, once teams get in the rhythm, you're going to see the disparities very quickly in who's a good team and who's a bad team. But, yeah, other than that, the Saints did take care of business. They did come in late. Jameis is hilarious. The guy, his post-game interview. Did you see the post-game interview?
I did. It was something. He's one of the funniest guys in the league.
I think he's unintentionally funny. He doesn't even know he's funny, and he's just funny. So, I mean, you got to see Taysom Hill get some action, get some run, which was exciting, because Taysom Hill running the football or doing some gadget stuff is always fun to watch. And, yeah, Michael Thomas, he looked great. And Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry had a good game too, which is kind of a guy who flown under the radar for sure, who, in my opinion, I kind of forgot he even was on this team until I said, whoa, that's Jarvis Landry out there. And he played pretty well. I think Jarvis Landry has 7 catches, 114 yards, which is a big game for Jarvis Landry. And he does have Jameis throwing the football, but he does throw the football. That's one thing he does. He might throw it too much, he might throw it too far.
He's going to heave it.
But he's going to heave it. So, Saints, they take care of business, and it was just fun to see those guys back there and run around. What about the Baker game? The Baker revenge game. Or it's the Cleveland revenge game against Baker.
To be completely honest with you, this one was kind of a stinker from an excitement standpoint. Baker didn't play well. It wasn't a particularly exciting game to watch. And to be honest with you, I'm not a Baker fan, but I did expect Baker to come out, and I kind of thought he was going to have a big game. And it just didn't show itself. They were in it until the end. Obviously, we're not going to see who Cleveland really is until Watson's back.
Mm-hmm.
With Brissett in there, you're not going to see what the offense is capable of with the backup quarterback in there. So I can't really take a ton away from the offensive output from Cleveland. Defensively, they looked pretty good. They were able to force some turnovers. For me, it just came down to Baker didn't look very good, and I kind of thought Baker was going to have a big day.
I thought he was going to have a big day, too. You know, you're in Carolina. You're in your new place. A lot of talk about your teammates not liking you. Good, big time to show up in a decent offense that has some good weapons on it, especially Christian McCaffrey, obviously. DJ Moore is more than capable of being in a wide receiver one. And they did. They looked sloppy. Baker did fumble 4 times, like you said. The turnovers costed them any chance of getting anything going. I think you're right. Excitement wasn't there. Cleveland, the two teams were just sloppy back and forth. It wasn't great football. It was kind of who had less turnovers in the end and just kicked a field goal to win. that's basically what happened. And it kind of it did like hurt me a little bit, because you want to see the storylines play out.
Oh, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, it would have been great. It would have been great. Nothing really too just, I don't know, exciting. Nothing too out there to just take away from anything other than
McCaffrey was subpar.
Yeah, he's subpar. He had what, 33 yards. The guy didn't do much, which is tough, because I believe he's a top two running. I think everyone can say that.
Oh yeah,
he's a top two, top one, best running back in the league when he is completely healthy and in a good offense. Things are moving. But again, week one, we just keep bringing it back to week one. Things get the kinks out. Also, some of these guys don't play. The people that don't play in the preseason is slow to catch up into actual game time reps. But I have one hot take from this game. Maybe a hot take, but just going forward in the future, just keep an eye on. That Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are one, two, best duo in the league as a running back duo. Because those guys are just, they can both do both. They can both get in between the tackles. Kareem Hunt's a better catcher. He's a better red zone, I think, a better red zone player too. But those guys, as a 1-2 at a third down back, completely, I think, on top of the league for sure. And it might not even be a hot take, but it's really exciting to watch. I loved Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, and he hasn't had a shot to be the number one back, but he gets used like number one back here in Cleveland. They do a great job getting both these guys a ball, and it's really fun to watch because those guys run hard, and that's one thing Cleveland has always been, a good running team. So that was exciting to see. That's really all takeaways I got from that game. But if you want to try to talk about something, that's basically my takeaway from it. That's all I get. But, you know, it was something other than sloppiness. What else we got here? We got San Fran and Chicago, which is something that I couldn't believe. My eyes were hurting watching that game because, first off, you're playing in a monsoon. I can't even see the lines. There was a picture I saw on Twitter. The lines were all squiggled.
Yep.
I said, what is going on here? These guys, but what do you think about Chicago? And just, do you think it's just a wet one of those games where it's just football in the mud? Whoever just holds onto the ball and sticks in there and hard nose, whatever it is.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't feel like I can take a lot out of this game. I mean, it was a really sloppy game. Obviously, like you just said, the weather was atrocious. Trey Lance wasn't good, but I feel like a lot of that had to do with the weather. I don't think a quarterback in that kind of weather can really flourish, period. Only 164 yards, had the pick, didn't get in the end zone. For me, I didn't think Chicago looked that good either. Fields did have two touchdowns. He did have an interception, but he only threw for 121 yards, which obviously you're going to see in this kind of a weather game. It was nice to see Justin Fields and this young Bears team get that win and see how excited they were to take down the 49ers. For me, from a pure football standpoint, I'm not going to take a lot out of it, but it was nice to see the celebration at the end for them. Justin Fields had a really tough year last year. So to see him start off his year two with a win at home, that place was going nuts. Bears fans can be crazy, so it was a good atmosphere, even though the weather was terrible. So for me, not going to take away a ton from an X's and O football standpoint, but it was nice to see a young Bears team take out a win at home.
Absolutely. I think one thing I was looking forward to seeing was just Trey Lance, Justin Fields, what they do with their legs, what they can do run the football. And again, it's hard in those conditions. But we didn't really see anything too crazy with, extending plays. We saw Trey Lance extend a couple of plays. Of course, the Justin Fields play, he rolls out, he scrambles a little bit, runs around in circles, finds Pettis down the sideline, wide open. Probably didn't even know he was there because you couldn't see him in the rain. But he was there. And, it was just more, I think you hit it right on the head. It was just, you can't take anything away from it. It is what it is. Both teams just got to look at it like, well, our game script, our game plan, completely washed, no pun intended, and just move on. But again, it is fun to see the Bears get a win. I mean, it's one of those, I don't think they're going to have many wins this year. So to get one against the 49ers, who are a very capable team, it was really good to see. We also had an Elijah Mitchell injury.
Yes,
which I love Elijah Mitchell, and he was great. He got hurt last year too, didn't he?
He did.
He was good last year until the injury, and he was just banged up throughout the year. But he's an explosive rookie. He's not a rookie anymore, but he's an explosive guy. And he's a guy who can be a workhorse. And it's really tough to see. Again, you can blame whatever. You can blame the weather. You can just blame Mother Nature. You can blame just freak accidents. But it is tough to see. But I was excited for Elijah Mitchell, for sure. That's a guy who I think can absolutely compete with, like, I don't want to get too crazy, but it can compete with the upper top 10 echelon running backs in the league. And it's tough. He'll be out for 8 weeks.
Yeah. Definitely a tough blow from just an NFL fan standpoint. I mean, towards the end of last year, and then especially in the playoffs when, you know, he was on the big stage, he was really good. Yeah. He was really good. And coming into this year, people were expecting a lot out of him. I mean, a really good O-line in San Francisco, and with what we saw from him, I was really excited to, you know, see if he could take that next step this year and if he could continue it. So obviously, first game of the year, tough blow for 49ers fans, but Kyle Shanahan will figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. They got enough running backs back there. They'll stick one in. They'll be just fine. But it's tough for any injuries week one. It's real tough. But there's more exciting things in the future, I'm sure. And one of those games is the Steelers-Bengals games, because that was, again, if we're going to fit the narrative of week one, just sloppy, bad football. You didn't see much of any really good offense. It was just turnover after turnover by one Joe Burrow, who single-handedly gave the game away. Four picks, a fumble loss. He had another fumble that didn't get picked up. And I don't know what that was all about. I don't know if I should give credit to how good the Steelers defense is. The Steelers defense is a good defense. It's a good defense. They have, of course, Minkah Fitzpatrick, T.J. Watt, who's out with a torn pec now, which, again, hurts week one, which he doesn't need surgery, which is always a plus. But I don't really think this defense isn't anything special to the point where Joe Burrow should be making this many bad mistakes. With the offense that they have, the wide receivers that they have, and that team, that Bengals defense isn't bad. It's not bad. So that was really one thing to say, like, whoa, okay, they went 10-7 last year. They made a run of the Super Bowl, lost, but they made a run. 10-7 isn't something that you're screaming over, but I don't know. I'm going to overreact. Why not overreact? Overreaction Wednesday. I don't think the Bengals are, again, it's a fluke game, but I don't think they're going to be as good as last year, because it's tough to make magic. What's the term? Magic flashed, whatever it is. Lightning strike twice. That's the word. Lightning strike twice. And I don't know. I feel like it was just a nice run and back of the drawing board. But it was really disappointing to see Joe Burrow play like that. And it utterly was just unacceptable from your quarterback that's supposed to be your franchise guy.
I agree. I also agree that I don't think they're going to be as good this year. But just in terms of this game, I mean, I was talking to one of my buddies who is a Bengals fan, and they were talking about how the Bengals in the preseason took the approach of starters are barely going to see any preseason time. And I think this might have played a big role in it. I mean, Burrow didn't get any preseason time. It takes a lot away from you. It gets you out. You know, preseason is to get, you know, your game flow, your rhythm. Obviously, Joe Burrow isn't, you know, playing in the preseason, you know, to fight for a job or anything. It's purely to, you know, get your rhythm, confidence, you know, just feel for the game back after, you know, not being on the field all off season. And I think we definitely saw some of that from Burrow, because as the game went on, he was a little bit better. We saw him start to make some Joe Burrow plays, but the first half was absolutely atrocious, like you said. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that none of these starters saw any of the preseason. Definitely got to give some credit to Pittsburgh. I mean, Trubisky didn't make any mistakes. You know, he didn't throw any interceptions. Obviously he wasn't great. He wasn't lighting the world on fire, but he didn't put Pittsburgh in a bad position. You already talked about the defense, so I'm not going to go, you know, too in depth with that. But you do have to give a little bit of credit to Pittsburgh going into Cincinnati, getting a big win, even though, you know, the missed field goals in overtime and
ugly.
And it was an ugly game. But Cincinnati does have Dallas at Jerry World, you know, next week with no Dak. Hopefully that's a game that they can bounce back and,
you know, get their season on the right track.
Absolutely. And it was also difficult. They lost Najee Harris for a portion of the game. Didn't play much. And you said Mitchell Trubisky. What do you think, sincerely, about Mitchell Trubisky starting over Kenny Pickett? Because we saw this. Oh, this is a wild one. We saw this with Patrick Mahomes to Alex Smith. But Mitchell Trubisky isn't any guy that you can really... I mean, you can watch over, but he's not the guy you sit behind and you learn a bunch from. He's been a journeyman now himself. He's been all over the place. He hasn't performed well. He hasn't had a good season in him. I don't... Personally, with the team that they have a decent... They have a good defense, and they have a franchise running back, and they have a good, a decent wide receiver core with Deontay Johnson, Claypool, and, you know, Fairmuth in there. But I don't understand the no Kenny Pickett move, in my opinion. I really don't get it.
I don't know. I feel like Pittsburgh isn't a bad team by any stretch. If you just look at their roster, they're not, you know, they're not Super Bowl contenders, but they're not a bad team. So if you're Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh always seems like an organization to me that always wants to be competing. So for me, if you're looking at a guy like Kenny Pickett, who you just drafted, you have a guy in Mitch Trubisky who has some NFL experience now, good or bad, he does have some experience. And if you're looking at the situation right now, if you think Trubisky's going to give you a better chance to win games right now, and you don't think Kenny Pickett's ready, I think it is probably smart for them to go with Trubisky. You're going to win more games with Trubisky right now, and you're also going to give Pickett an opportunity to sit on the bench and watch and learn a little bit. You know, some quarterbacks come in from college and they're 100% ready.
Right.
If they don't believe Pickett's 100% ready, I have no problem with them starting Trubisky.
I just don't. I think Pickett can go 21 for 38, 194, and a touchdown. But, listen, I'm all about I'm a believer of potential, which, for example, of a team, like, say, the Eagles, as an example, is a team that always wants to compete, that they try to compete. Like, there's a lot of teams that just want to compete, and they'll pick up so-so quarterbacks, like Matt Ryan on the Colts. That's a perfect example of just guys that just go in there and stick in there and just to win games that are veteran players or players that have been around the block. So I get that standpoint, and I guess that makes sense if you're looking at it that way, but he could throw 194. I don't know. I'm not gonna say nothing about Mike Thomas' decisions in the front office, because that team has been ran very well for a very long time. So they usually make all the right decisions. So I'm not gonna complain about it. But I just, you know, I was excited to see Kenny Pickett in there, because he was a guy who was a fun guy to watch. He was just one of those guys you like one of those just fun personalities in college that you like. So I was excited for that, and we get Mitchell Trubisky, who's, you know, He's not as exciting. He is what he is.
I totally agree. I just think it comes down to, if they don't believe Pickett's ready, they're not going to force him out there. But I do totally agree with, you know, he probably could have went out there and did what Mitch did. So yeah. I agree with you, but from that standpoint.
Absolutely. So, I mean, now we can move ourselves over to Detroit, where there was a battle of, I'll tell you, as an Eagles fan, you're excited for the year, of course. You got all the talk. I said this before. All the hype and all the talk about the team supposed to be pretty good, the division, maybe make a run in the playoffs, play a playoff game at home, hopefully, but that's a stretch. But they went in Detroit for 2.5 quarters. They played extremely well. Detroit came out right away they had the hype, the Hard Knocks team of the year, so they had all the hype, all the fans behind them. They came down, marched down the field, scored a touchdown on the opening drive. And I think that's what a lot of teams get at home with a little bit of hype behind them. They get that rush. They feed off the energy and feed off the crowd. And I think that's really all it was. I don't think Detroit is a great team. I don't think they're a good team. They have all the, you know, intangibles you might want, the dog mentality, just the fight to just keep pushing. You got Dan Campbell, who's a nutcase, but he's great. But I don't think the skill's there. The Eagles only won by 3 points. The Eagles roster compared to this Lions roster is night and day. So me, as an Eagles fan, was disappointed completely to see them let these Lions come right back, because that's what gets the crowd going. That's what gets you right back into these games. Maybe you could steal one early on the road, at home, against a good football team. Well, supposedly a good football team. But my takeaway from this game, other than A.J. Brown being the only guy to catch passes on the for the Eagles, who, I'll tell you what, it was great to see A.J. Brown. And it's been so long since the Eagles had a wide receiver one that's a legit, like, superstar potential wide receiver one. And it's nice to see. But other than that, it's the defensive coordinator who has a lot behind him right now. Because last year, all the talk was, oh, well, he doesn't have much talent to play with. There's not much, you know, skill out there. He's got Darius Slay and who? You got Darius Slay, James Bradbury, Monty Maddox now. You got a safety. You got Turner Gunsir Johnson who can go all over the place. You have a good defensive line. You bought some linebackers. Like, there's no excuse. So when they, I believe there's a stat. Before I go on, there was a stat in the game. The first touchdown of the game, they went right down the field, had, I think, five first downs the opening drive. They had one first down between that touchdown drive and 2 minutes left at the two-minute warning. One first down between the first drive and the two-minute warning. That, to me, shows the team is very good. The defense should stop a below-average Lions team. Allow them to just score 14 straight points and then get 14 straight points in the fourth quarter, allowed them to come back from a 31-14 deficit, it's just unacceptable. Anything that I like to see out of Eagles play, other than Jonathan Gannon killing me inside, telling me, you know, hey, yeah, we have to be a little more aggressive after the game. Oh, yeah, you got to be more aggressive. You can't play off. Any team will get yards on you. You can't just play 50 yards back, play sticks D, play prevent defense. It's not going to work. In the NFL, it's hard to let that keep happening, drive and drive out. But Jalen Hurts was good. He was okay. The legs worked. 9 yards on the ground for Jalen Hurts. He looked okay with the arm. There were some throws he definitely wants back that he should make. But Jalen Hurts, he impressed me, but didn't wow me to a point to where I'm like, okay, yeah, this is a different Jalen Hurts. He was kind of the same. He threw for a little bit. He ran just as much as he did last year. The arm, you can see the arm wasn't, it's still, you know, I'm not going to say it's weak, but you can see throws that you can see other quarterbacks make, which, again, he's not that style of quarterback to make your long crossbody throws, which you don't want anyone taking anyway, but there was a lot of throws that came up short, a lot of throws that over people's head, just off-target throws that you want him to have back and he should hit, especially for a guy who's in his third year, who's got a lot behind him. I'm going to keep rambling about this team. You know what? You tell me, what do you think the Lions, or what do you think the Eagles, from an outsider perspective that's not an Eagles fan, that you liked and you are, not excited, but just liked going forward?
We talk about how we don't want to overreact in week one, and I think this is the biggest example of it from the first week slate. For me, Philadelphia dominated in the first half. Their running attack was working for them. Hurts, Gainwell, Scott, and Miles Sanders, they were all clicking. It all looked really good. For Detroit, I mean, they do have some playmakers on the offensive end. And coming off of Hard Knocks, you know, they're a young, confident bunch. And even though I totally agree with you, they're not that talented, and I don't think they're going to end up being a great team, I think to start the year, they're going to have some offensive performances that are going to be a little bit eye-opening that we haven't seen in Detroit in a little bit, just because of all of the talk that they've had throughout the offseason through the various things. So for me, obviously, you do not want to see Philadelphia give up 35 points to Detroit, but it was in Detroit. They do have playmakers, and for me, I'm taking more good than bad out of this game for Philadelphia. Maybe it's just me, you know, not looking into, you know, the negatives as much as, you know, maybe you are.
There's definitely,
you know,
good. It's a lot of good. You said it. They dominated. The first half
was complete domination.
Yeah,
it was just they looked so good. And you know they let their foot off the gas a little bit. And Detroit made a couple of plays on offense. Obviously, you know, they had no problem scoring throughout the game. They put up 38 points. Obviously defensively you want to clean up some things. But for me, I'm not overreacting if I'm Philadelphia. Hurts looked good to me. Actually, I thought he looked solid. And If you listen to the last time I came on, you know, on this podcast, I'm not a big fan of Jalen Hurts. I thought he looked good. The legs, everything. I thought the offense looked good. So for me, I'm not going to take a ton of stock in the fact that the Lions roared back and, you know, made this a close one. To me, week one, Detroit
was high, you know, really confident. Philadelphia, you still came out with the win.
They're coming in on a high note from, you know, the Hard Knocks and just having all the build up around them just to, you know, go out there and fight. They're a gritty team.
Oh yeah.
Like, they're never gonna give up. And they were last year. They had a lot of one scored losses last year. The same team. So, right. I mean, there is one star. I think this the biggest great thing for Detroit is DeAndre Swift is an incredible player. And he alone can just help Jared Goff immensely. And you said there are some stars. Like, not stars, but there's some very good players. Amon Ross St. Brown is a good talented player.
Yeah.
TJ Hockenson's a good talented player. Like, these guys are good players. They have a couple. I think Frank Ragnow, that's their center. I love that guy because his name is sick. he's a good player. That's just one guy off the top of my head that I know. But yeah, there's some good players on that team and a lot of players that are gritty players. But I already rambled about the Eagles before. I can keep doing it. Here's what it is. They got the win. I can't complain. It's week 1-0, one.
And that's what matters.
1-0 at the end of the day. I'm acting like I lost. So, what about these guys? These Indianapolis Colts.
Let me tell you, what a freaking letdown from Indianapolis. I'm sorry. I mean, you get rid of Carson Wentz. It seemed like everybody in that organization blamed Carson Wentz for everything. Which, you know what? Everything could have been Carson's fault last year. But you blame him for everything. You bring in Matt Ryan. You think it's an upgrade, which, you know, it very well might be. I'm not saying it's not. And you throw out a dud like this. I mean, it seemed like I looked up and, you know, early the fourth quarter, and they still only had a field goal. They roared back, and, you know, they were able to take it to overtime, but, you know, against a Texans team that is really stripped of talent, this was a real letdown for me from Indianapolis. Hopefully it's just, you know, one little blip in their radar, and, you know, this will, you know, hopefully they can get off, you know, to a better start next week offensively, because, you know, the offense in the first half was just putrid, but a real letdown. I don't really have anything to say for Houston, to be honest with you.
No, I don't either.
You know, Houston's not really a team that, you know, that, to be honest with you, I care about. I think they're, you know, the least talented team in the league. So for me, this was all about the Colts and how much of a letdown it was. Not a good showing to open up.
Not a good showing. And you're right. They scored a field goal through three quarters against a Houston, Texas defense that should absolutely be just ran through. I mean, Michael Pittman's a great wide receiver. He's turning into a great wide receiver. Who else we got on the team? Jonathan Taylor.
You have Jonathan Taylor, shouldn't only score three against Houston. That case closed for me right there.
Absolutely. And he had, 31 carries in this game. 31 carries is a lot of carries for Jonathan Taylor. He had 161 yards. He had some catches and some yards in there. But all in all, there was really nothing else. Like you said, there's nothing really to take away from this game other than what happened.
Yeah.
That can't happen. Nothing happened.
And that's the problem.
Matt Ryan, he lost the ball four times. Can't fumble four times. You're supposed to be a slide in, like a Carson Wentz, the one Carson Wentz to be. Just slide in, take control, just don't lose football games.
Yeah.
Go win football games. And unfortunately, he didn't do that. And the team let us down. I don't think the defense really played bad. The defense was fine. No. 20 points is nothing in the NFL anymore. But to score 20 against them against the Texans is not good. And you're right. It's a letdown. And I don't know what to think of them. If they want to go fight the Titans in the AFC the South, that's a division game. You don't want those head-to-heads, division game, not head-to-heads, but division games to come off your record at the end of the year against teams you absolutely should beat. Especially week one early before teams figure anything out. So, what about your Commanders? Because they were pretty exciting to watch. Actually, I enjoyed watching the Commanders play some football. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was. For me, it was really exciting. I mean, I liked a lot of what they did offensively. Obviously Brian Robinson is not around right now. So they got Gibson involved early on the ground and in the air. They kept him in the game. I love that. Curtis Samuel got involved really early. Had a couple of catches on the opening drive, the opening touchdown. Jahan Dotson, the rookie, with two touchdowns, including the game winner on offense. Terry didn't have a huge day, but he did have the 147-yard touchdown, only two catches. But, you know, I'm not totally, you know, obviously I'm not worried about Terry McLaurin. He's going to be, you know, he'll figure it out. You know, I'm, you know, definitely not worried about that. And, you know, obviously defensively for, you know, Washington, there was a couple of blips. I mean, I think Jacksonville had a ton of problems offensively that, you know, was really crazy to me. I mean, I watching the game, obviously, as a Commanders fan, I saw Travis Etienne and the burst of speed that he exhibits, and they barely gave him the football. I saw Trevor Lawrence miss a couple of really easy throws. He missed a touchdown throw. Etienne dropped a touchdown catch. So, obviously, the Jaguars are a bad team. They have a lot to clean up. But for Washington, I mean, Wentz did throw the four touchdowns. Two bad picks, but, you know, what's fine with me with the two picks is he throws the two picks on consecutive passes, and then he comes out and he throws two touchdowns, one being a game winner. So for me, you know, obviously you don't want to see the interceptions, but he bounced back really well. And obviously not a great team, but at home you got to take care of the job, and that's what they did. And, you know, a good solid opening win for Washington.
One takeaway for me, I mean, more so just the Commanders' like composure. To just keep it cool. Because you just mentioned, Trevor Lawrence did miss two wide open touchdowns. And you got to capitalize when things happen. And they did. Carson Wentz, who is a fan of mine, not many people agree with me, played well. Who played, you know, like Carson Wentz. He's just going to sling it. And you got guys that are pretty good out there catching passes. I liked what I saw from all of them. I think it's intriguing to see the Jahan Dotson hype continue into the regular season. I think it's intriguing to see the new Curtis Samuel to get 11 targets, which is it's impressive.
It was so good to see him.
The guy's dynamic. He's really one of those guys who's kind of under the radar as a wide receiver for sure. And Antonio Gibson, he looked pretty solid for what you're asking of him. It's a tough situation, and he did well. And the Commanders for me. Just, like you said, took care of business, did what they had to do, had some flash, and played a good football game. I mean, other than the back-to-back turnovers, interceptions, there was really nothing else to it.
Yeah.
It was a pretty clean game, I'd say. I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I'm sure you watched the whole thing.
I did.
Through and through. You know, is there any other really big things that stood out other than, you know, just Carson Wentz played like Carson Wentz and above expectations, I would say. People don't know what to expect of Carson Wentz after he had a rough showing in Indianapolis. So, other than that, I think they played all right.
Yeah, I mean, four touchdowns for Carson Wentz, I don't think people were expecting that. No. So, that's obviously good. But I don't really have anything else to say on Washington's side. Jacksonville, they just did not look good. I mean, I don't understand why they weren't giving the ball to Etienne more. The guy is quick and explosive, and he just doesn't seem to be part of their game plan like as much as I feel like he should. But you know what? Jacksonville's a bad team. Trevor Lawrence, I don't know. This is the first time I watched a Trevor Lawrence NFL game through and through. He doesn't really impress me. But, you know, it's the beginning of a second year. We'll see what happens. But other than that, good win for Washington. Move on. They're going to Detroit.
Yeah, and you bring up Trevor Lawrence. He's the number one overall pick. You're supposed to see just strides. You don't really see strides. You kind of see like more, I wouldn't say regress, but just nothing. You're not progressing. You're kind of just stabilizing as a quarterback. And he missed a bunch. I think he missed a couple throws, especially.
He did. A wide open touchdown throw.
In the red zone, he looked a little like lost. He, you know, wasn't decisive in his decisions. And you need that in the red zone. You need to be decisive, short, quick. And I didn't see much. I mean, James Robinson looked fine, but I don't think James Robinson should be their do-it-all guy. Like you said, Travis Etienne should be their do-it-all guy. He is the do-it-all guy. His body, his stature, how he plays is just it's not a gadget, but it's like your Alvin Kamara's. It's like those type of players that can do anything you want. And I didn't see that. And it's tough to see because not that the Jaguars had hype. Because they're not a great team, but you want to see these rookies, the guys that played together, do something, and they didn't really do anything. And the Commanders' Defensively, I'm not sure. The secondary, I don't think is that great to where they could, they should have like utilized. I mean, they have some decent wide receiver. I wouldn't say talent, but Christian Kirk is on the team. He played pretty well. Marvin Jones, who's a solidified veteran. I mean, there's guys out there that you should be able to just look, you know, more together. And they just looked out of place. But again, that's what you get for a bad team on week one that's not supposed to, you know, wow anybody. They're going to look sloppy. And that's what they did.
Yeah.
And the Commanders just took care of business and they did a good job.
And one more thing about Trevor Lawrence before we move on. At Clemson, one of the really big weapons for him in that offense was his legs. There was not one single designed run in this whole game for Trevor Lawrence. He scrambled out of the pocket once, got a few yards with his legs, but it was not a designed run. That I guess they don't see that as a weapon for him. He just seems extremely one-dimensional for me. I felt like that was a big part of, you know, his success at Clemson, and that there's just absolutely none of that in this offense for him. That not one designed run from Doug Peterson. So I don't know if that's something that they don't, you know, they don't see being, you know, a long-term, you know, success for him. But again, Trevor Lawrence was underwhelming to watch. Definitely.
I think he looked stiff. Like he felt stiff. Like he was afraid to make afraid to make a run and get in the action. Like go get active, go out there and make a play. He didn't want to make any play. Try to be too safe. You can't be ultra safe in the NFL. Ultra safe is going to get you nowhere. Ultra safe is going to get you on a new team every other year. It's not going to do it for you. And for a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who's supposed to be their franchise quarterback, I have seen nothing in 2 years that tells me he's a franchise quarterback.
Nothing.
And that's...
it's got to be scary.
That's scary. For Jaguars fans, that I've never met one, but, you know, it's scary from an outsider perspective because I like Trevor Lawrence, and I think he has potential to be a good quarterback. I just don't know how good of a quarterback he can be at the NFL level entirely because he just hasn't done much. And again, he hasn't had great help. He doesn't have the best lines, doesn't have the best, you know, that he's been throwing out coaches. He's had a lot of moving parts. But at some point, go win a ball game for your team. Go out there and win a ball game. He hasn't done it. He hasn't even really helped their team win ball games. He's kind of not lost, but he's just dwindled out. He's just flatlining in the middle and really haven't done much. A team that had done a lot and haven't done it since 2016 is the Giants, who I made some money off of this weekend also.
Did you?
I took some money on, you know, had to dabble a little bit. And shouldn't have done it because I hate the Giants.
I'll tell you.
They played a pretty good football game.
I'll tell you, I did not win a single bet this weekend.
But it happens. Yeah.
But yeah, the Giants did look good. I mean, you know, obviously, offensively, they didn't really have anything going in the first half. But their defense kept them in the game. And, you know, as the game went on, Saquon started looking like, you know, what we thought Saquon was going to be.
Saquon's back.
You know, 18 carries for a 164, you know, and a touchdown. Daniel Jones had a 115.9 passer rating, which is, you know, pretty solid for Daniel Jones. He only threw the ball 21 times. But, you know, a really good win for the Giants. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the new coach, Brian Daboll, you know, going for that 2-point conversion, gutsy. And, you know, obviously, since it works, he's the hero. You know, if it doesn't work, you know.
Start the season on the right foot. Why don't you just try to get us going? Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what it is.
But, you know, a good win for the Giants. You know, I don't think we're going to see a ton of this throughout the year, so I'm not really worried about the Giants. So I feel comfortable in saying, you know what? Give it to Giants fans. Nice win. Tennessee did not look good offensively.
Oh, that's more scary to me.
To be honest, yeah. I think more of the talk of this game is Tennessee.
Tennessee should not have lost this game.
No.
They do not deserve to lose this game. And when are we going to start pointing fingers at Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, really.
Because we haven't. It's just been, well, Derrick Henry's carrying. Ryan Tannehill's fine. He just is the guy just fills in the hole. Like a lot of players that are, you know, moving around. But he's not moving around. And he didn't excite me at all. With 20 for 33, 266, 2 touchdowns. I mean, the numbers don't seem bad.
No.
But with the eye test and what you're watching, it's like you got to do more. And they have wide receivers that can do more. They have not enough, but they have guys that are definitely capable. Robert Woods is a very capable wide receiver. He had one catch. It's like it's tough for me. It's tough for me to understand. Derrick Henry can't be your end-all, be-all
No.
every year. And once teams just, if you're going to sell out for the run, someone's got to step up. And if the Titans team is going to, I wouldn't say get shut down, because they didn't get, they got shut down offensively. Even Derrick Henry got shut down for his standards. I mean, Giants kept the 82 yards and no touchdowns, no scores.
3.9 a carry, which,
yeah, you know, which is,
isn't terrible, but for Henry,
you'll take that.
Yeah.
And that was their game plan, and it kept them in the game. But it's scary for me. I don't know where they go if this is going to be their offense.
One thing I will say, and you'll appreciate this as an Eagles fan, is I think we saw A.J. Brown missing in this offense in the first week.
Agreed.
So, you know, you did say Robert Woods, and he is coming off the ACL injury, so yeah. I would expect him to take a couple of weeks, you know, to get his feet wet. But, you know, after that, it does look a little bit bare to me. And, you know, obviously Julio didn't return, and, you know, A.J. Brown obviously as well. So, I don't know what this receiving core is going to look like, and I think we are going to see another season, like you said, where it's Henry or bust, and I have a feeling that, you know, this might be the year where it doesn't work out as well as it has in the past, where, you know, they've had really good regular seasons.
Yeah, the Titans, you can't keep winning like this. It's not winning football in 2022 to just win ground and pound only and be nothing else. And you're right. A.J. Brown does make a big difference, obviously. And it's tough. I don't know. I don't know what the Titans do. Maybe as much as I want to say, you know, point finger at Ryan Tannehill, which you absolutely can, to he's one of those veterans now to go uplift your offense a little bit, get the best out of these guys, because your job isn't really hard right now. You're not. It's not a hard job. So he's got to do something to get some more out of these guys. It also goes to coaching and like their scouting and their front office to see that, hey, we don't really have any skill position guys that we can – like they don't have any shifty guys. They don't have any guys that can go out and make a big play other than Derrick Henry that obviously just grounds and stiff arms people and just runs through people. You don't have it. You don't have like these – a Travis Etienne in this offense would be perfect for them. They don't have the Alvin Kamaras. They don't have who else? You can name a bunch of people, but it's tough for me because the Giants, I think, played a good football game. They stuck to their game plan. Obviously, stuck to their game plan. Didn't rush anything on offense. Took their time and won a ball game against a team that is kind of stale. They seem very stale. One other player that I think should be used in this Giants offense that you would love to see more of because he's a cool athlete. He's a fun athlete. He's quick. Kadarius Toney. He needs to be utilized. They don't have – their wide receiver corps is even thin. And if they're going to compete at all, they're going to need a guy like that who they drafted highly to get playing time in front of these other guys, like the Richie Jameses of the world. Go switch that out and be him. Go be the dynamic playmaker that he's supposed to be, that he can be. And in that offense, if Saquon Barkley's going to run like this, I don't know. Maybe they'll win six games this year. Seven games this year.
I totally agree. Toney needs to see the ball. I mean,
he needs to see the ball.
He really does. It kind of, you know, I meant to bring this up when we were talking about the Eagles, but kind of like Devontae Smith. I mean, he didn't see the ball at all, you know, either. And, you know, for me, you know, Philly's a different situation because, you know, obviously A.J. Brown is a top-flight wide receiver. But if I'm looking at the wide receiving room right now in New York, I mean, obviously, you know, in Detroit, Kenny Galladay was that guy. But he hasn't shown to be that guy here. I mean, you know, Shepard, you know, he's a solid wide receiver. Like, for me, Toney has the biggest potential and, the biggest, you know, splash play, you know, ability in the room. So right now he needs to see the ball. Like, I totally agree. I think it's asinine that he's not part of the offense, you know, more. I think he can really bring like an explosive factor to the offense that it desperately needs.
I think especially early. Get him going, go see what he can do. Like, you have a whole season ahead of you. If there's something you don't like, you can change it. The Giants aren't in a position to go make a trade and contend. They aren't in a position to tank. They're in a position to just see how it works. They're in a position to give Daniel Jones one last chance to just do something. Again, not much off from the offensive line. It hasn't been great for a while, but it's not that bad. It's not as bad as it was. They have some pieces now, and you got to give him some type of help, especially with a guy like Kadarius Toney, to just generate something for Giants fans and just for themselves. They haven't had a winning season in so long. This is the first time they've been 1-0 in 6 years to start a season. So, I don't know. It's a good thing, a good win for the Giants. I think the more heavier takeaway is the Titans completely, it's like the Colts. They can't lose that game.
Yep.
It's not a game they should lose. Another game I want to talk about is the Raiders-Chargers game a little bit. I think the Chargers look pretty good. And obviously they just lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams disappeared. And they have a lot of guys though. They have a lot of guys that can make plays. Their defense is incredible. Their defense is one of the best in the league this year. Between their line, their secondary is great. They made a lot of plays. They picked off Derek Carr 3 times, multiple sacks. They looked really good. And if that's a Chargers team we're gonna get, it's gonna be a fun, you know, maybe Chargers Chiefs top of that division. And I'm excited. Justin Herbert looks picked up right where back left off. That's what you want Trevor Lawrence to be if you're a Jaguars fan. But I don't know. I think the Chargers look great. What do you think?
Yeah. What you said about the defense, you took it right from me. I mean, we know the Chargers, you know, as being, you know, one of the most explosive offensive squads, you know, in football. They did it on the defensive end. You know, with the addition of Khalil Mack, they looked like a complete juggernaut on the defensive end. They made Carr look absolutely stupid all day long. You know, I felt like, you know, and you know, the only worry that I came across with this game for the Chargers was, you know, once Keenan went down, it did feel a little bit stagnant, you know, for me. You know, Justin Herbert, we know at this point that Keenan Allen is a safety blanket. You know, in big spots, he likes to go to Keenan Allen. For some reason, Mike Williams wasn't really a part of, you know, of the touches, you know, on Sunday, which was a little bit shocking to me. But, you know, coming into this Thursday night game that they have with Kansas City, Keenan Allen's not going to be playing. I guess we'll see if, you know, offensively they could pick up the slack without him. I have a feeling we're going to see a little bit less of an offense without him. And then on, you know, on the Raiders side, I mean, defensively, you know, I thought they played, you know, a fine, you know, football game against really explosive offense.
Yeah.
Derek Carr made a couple mistakes that he shouldn't have made, and I think that's what it came down to for them. You know, I don't really think there's a ton to take away from, you know, the Raiders, you know, part of it. Derek Carr didn't play well, and, you know, if Derek Carr plays better, you know, they have a really good chance to win this game.
They were in this game defensively, which is not something you hear from the Raiders a lot. The defense kept them in the game. And with Keenan Allen or not, you got to play, and they played pretty well. One thing that stuck out to me about the Chargers, just looking over this, 10 different guys had targets on this Chargers offense. 7 players had 4 targets apiece, which, to me, once Keenan Allen goes out, it's like, who's the guy? I don't know who the guy is. So it's just a bunch of just, oh, here's, you know, over here, check down over here. Just like, you said, stagnant. Nothing you can go to, no rhythm. It's just all over the place. And as much as, you know, spreading the wealth is a good thing, and which you want to see, that's a lot of players to throw the ball to. And if you're going to lose Keenan Allen and you're going to play kind of sporadic like that, that's a little bit worrisome. I wouldn't be worried at all about the Chargers. They're going to be fine. They'll figure it out. They're going to need their players to step up, Mike Williams especially. And they're going to be all right. For the Raiders, you hit it on the head. Derek Carr, it was a Derek Carr game. He messed up multiple times. He got rushed a lot. He got into situations where he kind of like felt pressured. He stood still and feet were waddling. He couldn't get out of sacks. He was very, very stiff in the pocket. The decision making was not there, but the Khalil Mack condition couldn't look any better. I'm surprised. Khalil Mack, you haven't seen anything Khalil Mack in 2 years. I haven't
really heard from him in a little bit. Like he's kind of been off the radar
ever since the trade from the Raiders. It's been like, where's he gone? And he comes right in here and makes a statement that he's trying to be still one of the best in the league, and he very well can be. We see more of that with that line. He absolutely could be. But, yeah, the Raiders, I don't know. I like the Raiders this year. I'm high on the Raiders this year to do well because that offense is very good. It should be very good. This is one of the best defenses you're going to see in your own division. I want to see what they do against a softer matchup and see if they just looked apart. If they still struggle, then that's something, well, hey, you got to look. Got to go to the blueprint, figure something out. Maybe it's Derek Carr. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Their running backs need to get more in play as well. Josh Jacobs is
only 10 carries.
Only 10 carries. You need more. You can't be a one-dimensional offense. If any offense, no matter how good you are, if you're a one-dimensional offense, you're going to get stopped in the NFL.
And you can't expect anybody to get in a rhythm with that little carry. No, you can't even. You know, I mean, you know, he was 10 for 57. You know, that's a good line. 5.7 a carry is a very good line.
It is a good line.
But he has, you know, he didn't get enough touches there. You're right. They were very one-dimensional.
I mean, Devontae Adams looked great, but again, you expect him to look great. He's the best receiver in the league. He should look great. It's just. It's tough, and for a Raiders team that I think can compete for the, I mean, I think everybody in that division could compete for the division, but a team that made some really big moves, and well, not big move, made a big move, should look better than what I think they look today, or not today, I said today again, on Sunday, which, you know, I miss football already. Good thing we got one tomorrow.
There you go.
We got one tomorrow. What else sticks out of your head here? What other you know, big... I mean, we're gonna see, you know, the Seahawks game on Monday night. We have the Dallas Cowboys versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah,
which
I don't think we need to talk about it, you know, a ton, but you know, good win for Minnesota at home. That's all I'm really gonna say about it. But a good win, you know. Green Bay's got some stuff to figure out, but we were talking about before, you know, we started recording. Green Bay lost 38-3. On opening weekend last year.
Yeah.
They won the division. Rodgers won the MVP. So
exactly.
That's all I really have. Maybe it's a
little bit different this year, because, I mean, it could be a little bit different this year. They don't really have any wide receivers. He doesn't really have anyone to throw to.
And that drop by Christian
And if
Watson
you're going to have your rookies drop balls like that, you can't have it. So I don't know what Green Bay does. But, again, it's Aaron Rodgers. They'll figure something out. But it's a slow start again for the Packers. It's just, hopefully it's something that doesn't linger along, which it very well could be. This might be the year where something could linger, could lose 3 out of 4, 3 out of 5, and things start going in the air. Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that, you know, all that type of stuff. But yeah, all in all, you nailed it on the head again. Vikings, good win at home, took care of business, did what they had to do. Justin Jefferson looked great. Kirk Cousins, been the same quarterback for 10 years. That's about it.
Yeah, and you know, I feel like we can kind of do the same thing with Kansas City, Arizona. Mahomes looked great. Kyler didn't.
Nope.
You know, and Kansas City blew him out. That's really all I have to say about that one as well.
Kansas City is still a top team, which people have doubts.
They can still do it without Tyreek.
But yeah, it's not a one-man show over there. It's, you know, it's well-built. And they did a very, you know, they impressed. I mean, I don't even know if they impressed. I just kind of assume they should just run through teams. Like, they're the Chiefs. They have a great offense. As long as Travis Kelce's on the team, and as long as Pat Mahomes is the quarterback, you're going to be fine. So I expect them to compete once again for division and probably Super Bowl. Who knows? Bucks Cowboys. There's not much to talk about in this game either.
Game-wise, it was sloppy.
Field goals, ugly, awful. It was the worst Sunday Night Football game I've ever seen. And there's no Dak now.
Yeah, you're right. This game-wise, there's really nothing to talk about. I mean, Dak got hurt.
Brady's return.
I mean, Mike Williams with a really nice touchdown catch.
Evans.
But, what?
Okay. What I would love Mike Williams touchdown catch. That'd be nice for my fantasy team, and he doesn't do that. So
sorry about that.
What are you going to do?
But, you know, other than that, you know, Brady looked good, you know. And, you know, the big thing about the big thing in this game is the Dak injury, which, you know, depending on, you know, there's been, you know, a couple different reports now on, you know, how long, you know, what his timetable looks like, but this could really put a big damper on Dallas this season.
Absolutely. He's probably out for at least half the year with a broken thumb, whatever he's got going on in there. It's not good, especially when you're throwing hand. Who knows how long he can get back to a nice throwing form, squeezing a football again. I'd be nervous if I was a Cowboys fan. I wouldn't, you know, it's week one, but it's your quarterback week one. There's been a lot of talks about the Cowboys now. And as soon as he's gone, it's like, what do they do now? Do they try to look for a Jimmy G? Do they try to go out there and get a quarterback to just get in there and figure it out and just don't lose some games, just get in there and be serviceable? I don't know how many serviceable quarterbacks they can grab, but Cooper Rush is not going to do it. And the Cowboys are one of those franchises. They're not going to lay down and sit out and do nothing. You got to go get somebody. And I don't know who they're going to get. I don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of scary. It's scary because they're wide receivers as well. CeeDee Lamb didn't look great. He had a drop that they don't. It's a lot of blah. There's no offense, nothing. There is no life. No one had life. Zeke didn't have life. He looked okay early, nothing. Tony Pollard, who's another guy you want to step up, who's supposed to be like the X factor of that offense, did nothing. CeeDee Lamb did nothing. Dalton Schultz, nothing. All these guys, Dak or no Dak, there was no life. Mike McCarthy looked dead in the water. He didn't know what he was doing.
They got in the field first drive. They kicked the field goal. Other than that,
It's pathetic. And I mean, it's the same for the Bucks, who should not have been like that with the offense that they have. They should not have been. Their offense should not have been as bad. Leonard Fournette was the only good player, I think, who looked hard running, looked energized to be in the game. Everyone looked sluggish and slow. Tom Brady didn't even look right. And he is 45. There's a lot going on. But I don't know. I mean, the Bucks took care of a Cowboys team that just wasn't there. And I don't know where the Cowboys go from here. I don't know if you think a trading for a quarterback is the best option or what they should do, but I don't know.
I think it's definitely the best option. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
You don't think it's going to happen?
No. Jerry's stuck on his guys, man. And he likes Cooper Rush. He thinks, you know, he's been in the system a few years now. I think it's really hard for, you know, a 5 or 6 week period to bring, you know, a quarterback in. It's going to take him 2 weeks just to learn the system, you know? So I feel like with the timetable that we're kind of getting on Dak and some mixed reviews, I feel like it's not worth it to go out and, you know, maybe go for Cam Newton or maybe try to trade for Garoppolo. You know, it doesn't fit the scheme. It doesn't fit the offense. And it's going to take time to integrate those people. Cooper Rush has been in the system a couple years now, and they like him. For better or for worse, I think Jerry's going to stick with that.
Good luck in Jerry's world.
Good
luck in Jerry's world. Because you're right. Jerry runs things over there. And whatever he says goes. And he does it his way and no other person's way. Which is incredible to me. Because they haven't done much. Not that we keep going with the Cowboys. But it's always fun talking about the Cowboys. Because you just troll them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
All day long. You troll them all day long. Dak, for as long as he's been there, he has one playoff win. The Cowboys offense, who was one of the best offenses in the league a couple years ago, they haven't done anything. They've been one of the better teams. I'm going to say a top team, but they've been one of the better teams that are supposed to be a play-in or just a pin-in, whatever the name is, to be in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
And go do something. And they have done nothing. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to notice that it's something with the scheme and internally is not working. It can stem from Mike McCarthy, who I think is an awful coach. I don't think he's a good coach. I don't know what it stems from, but they got to do something, and if they're going to stick with Cooper Rush, which you're probably right, then golly.
I'm not saying it's the right decision.
Jerry's something.
You said it. Jerry runs it, and Jerry's going to do what he wants to do, and he's, you know, he's stuck in his ways. He likes his own guys, so
yeah.
That's just what I think is
going to
happen.
Absolutely. What about Denver going back to Seattle? With the Russell Wilson return, the crowd of boos. The booth wells.
What a crappy game, man. I have four things to say about this game, and then I'll turn it over to you.
I'm ready.
First sentence, I am shocked they booed Russell Wilson. Shocked. My second, Geno Smith looked pretty good in the first half, and honestly, it was good to see. I was pretty happy for him to go out there and you know, have a pretty solid game like he did. My third point, Broncos offense was really, really rough. They had the one touchdown, 67-yarder to Judy. Other than that, did not look good offensively. Russ did not play well. And number four, what everybody's talking about, Nathaniel Hackett.
Mm.
I don't know why teams continue to take these rookie head coaches with no experience and put them on teams that are playoff teams. I just don't get it.
I totally agree.
And I don't get it. Those are the four things I have about the game. I'll turn it over to you.
If I want to rebuttal any of those things, not rebuttal, but just go off of anything you said there. The Nathaniel Hackett thing is, it's mind-boggling to me. I mean, the guy just played not to lose. You can't. I mean, the clock management, the red zone, everything just was ugly. And every time you saw the Broncos get down the field, you're like, okay, here we go. Something going on. It's just nothing. And the guy made a joke of himself. He went back on his word. Like, it's a blow-up thing. Not blow-up, but the guy obviously has a lot to learn to be an NFL head coach.
So he should be with a team that also has a lot to learn because...
Yeah. He should.
That's my point. So now, you know, Denver's in a position where, you know, they think that, you know, they're contenders and they're going to lose games because they have a rookie head coach who needs to, you know, who needs to lose these games to gain experience. It's just, for me, it's the wrong timeline. And I don't understand why teams continue to do this.
I agree. One head coach that could have reached out to that is in Jacksonville, maybe Doug Peterson, who has experience, went through it. They didn't give him a call. I know he was looking at a couple teams. We'll end up going with Jacksonville because he's living down in Jacksonville. But you're right. And the Broncos, you got like they trade for Russell Wilson. When you trade for Russell Wilson, you trade for a quarterback with your wide receivers that are all now healthy, that are back. You might as well go all in. And if they're gonna lay down and just punt, say, hey, you know what? We're gonna try something different. It hasn't worked the last 2 years. Try something different. And it's an ugly start. But any take, I'm going to have a couple takeaways for the Seahawks. The Seahawks, they played hard. They played with the crowd, which you're right. I couldn't believe they booed Russell Wilson.
It was shocking.
It's insane.
He did a lot for that organization. I don't know.
And it was all hatred. There was nothing but boos. Nothing. I didn't hear nothing. All negative.
What I expected was first time he runs out there, he gets a good cheer from the crowd. Applause. Rest of the game, you boo him.
Yeah, during the game.
Nothing.
No reception whatsoever. Just bad. Just bad. You're right. It's not embarrassing, but it's tough. Like, the guy was everything to your organization. I mean, you had Matt Hasselbeck beforehand, and the guy brought you to two Super Bowls, and has won you divisions, and you won. It is definitely tough to see. Oh, goodness. Geno Smith looked all right. He looked okay. He's what you expect Geno Smith to be. Nothing special. Make the throws you're supposed to make. Don't screw the game up, which he almost did a couple times. He made some bad decisions.
Yeah, especially in the second half, it started to fall off.
He made some bad decisions, taking sacks, a lot of stuff. It did fall off a lot because he came out blazing the first drive of the game. Came out blazing. He was perfect. And I was like, wow, okay, Geno Smith. He's out dueling Russell Wilson early. But Seahawks didn't really impress. No, they didn't impress me at all.
No, it wasn't the Seahawks game.
It really wasn't about the Seahawks. No. It was about the Broncos just, again, crumbling. They can't lose to the Seahawks. They're not good. The Seahawks are one of those teams that have punted. They don't know what to do with their franchise. They signed DK Metcalf long term with no one to throw to him to. They have Drew Lock. There's nothing there. And what did DK Metcalf do with this game? He had 7 for 36, 36 yards, 7 catches. It's nothing. There's nothing there. And
it's dink and dunk, which was their offense.
Which is their offense.
Which you can expect if it's Geno Smith.
Right, exactly.
That's what you're going to see all year.
And it's really, 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 it's really sad because I just, like you said, it's more on Denver and their inability to win game. Well, not win game. Oh, yeah, win games, close moments in prime time and clutch time, and Nathaniel Hackett definitely folded under pressure completely, played against the crowd that he had a total upper advantage against. I mean, that last two minutes, I can't get it out of my head. That was one of the worst clock management. I couldn't believe it.
If I was a Broncos fan, I would have been losing my mind watching that.
Like, all of us, timeout, timeout, coach. You got to call timeout. You're letting second.
Peyton on the man.
Even before that, yeah, 62 times. We had a counter. I saw the counter up there. 62 times. And it's tough. Not very exciting primetime games this week. Again, we're going to chalk it up to being week one. Get the kinks out. It was good to have football back. It was great to have football back. Let me specify. It was great to have football back. All of our respective teams got to win. That's the big picture. Other than that, lots of sloppiness, lots of sloppy play, lots of close games, surprisingly, which I didn't really expect, but it makes sense. No one's really going to be above anyone else other than the big, good, you know, the greatest, the best teams in the league. Maybe above other teams to be ahead of the game. But other than that, it was a pretty decent week of football. I'm ready for week two. Thursday night football game tomorrow night. Who's playing tomorrow night?
Chargers Chiefs.
Chargers Chiefs, that's right. So that should be a great game. Speaking of great games, that should be a great game. So anything else that you think you want to touch on? Maybe some the biggest takeaways from anything that you saw or anything to just monitor going forward that you want to see improve? Like just, I don't know, anything that you have thoughts on at all going to week two?
Yeah, a couple quick things.
I'm here.
Colts in Jacksonville, you got to blow them out. I mean, after your performance in Houston, you gotta go into Jacksonville and beat the brakes. Tampa Bay in New Orleans, that's a revenge game for Tom Brady. They lost both games to New Orleans last year. You know, big game for him.
Might lose another one.
He might. And you know, obviously, you know, Cincinnati at Jerry World. I want to see Cincinnati bounce back. And obviously, we got to see what Dallas looks like with, you know, whatever they decide to do with their quarterback situation. And other than that, I mean, I think just broad scheme, I think that's it. But I'm definitely excited for, you know, for week two.
Absolutely. Definitely excited for week two. I just couldn't be happier with having football back. If I had to see any games that I'm really excited about, if I had to give you one.
Let me guess, the Eagles.
No, we don't have to worry about the Eagles. The Eagles-Vikings should be something.
That should be a pretty solid game.
Monday night games should be something. Is there two Monday night games?
There is.
Am I reading this correctly?
Titans,
two
Bills.
Monday night games. What's the point of that? 7:15.
I think one of the games is...
7:15.
I think one of the games is on like Amazon Prime or something like
that.
Oh,
I got you. Okay.
I think we have something like that.
More third parties.
We've had to deal with that. This baseball season, I think it's starting to bleed into the NFL.
It is, and they're going to keep doing it, making money off it. So, but yeah, exciting games. I want to see again. I want to see. Not this is going to be a huge game, but what the Bears look like against the Packers team that might be at their lowest point offensively that they've been at in a long time, and just see. Well, because their defense it's not great. Their line should be okay. So I want to see what happens. There's really other games that excite me. I mean, Panthers Giants might excite me a little bit. I want to see if the Giants step on the throat because they should. I mean, they can beat the Panthers. The Panthers can beat the Giants absolutely too, which I kind of expect the Panthers to beat the Giants. But I want to see if the Giants, was that like a fluky one, you know, week one win? They just were ballsy, got a really big play, 2-point conversion. Let's see if maybe they're here to make some type of noise, which would be incredible to see. But other than that, there's really nothing else that really sticks out to me apart from just some good games and hope for the best and look forward to week two.
Definitely.
Anything else you got, man?
I think that's it for me. Detroit Lions are a favorite at home against Washington for the first time in, I think, like 10 years. Detroit is a favorite in a game. So I think we should end with that.
Perfect. Washington money line. Sounds good to me. Other than that, I appreciate you pumping on again, man.
No problem. I love being here. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
I would love to do this weekly. Wednesday's weekly, hopefully, can get this going. Anything changes, let you know. And we'll just go year by year, week by week. Hopefully, good football stays ahead of us. And we don't get some sloppiness like week one.
Expect to hear me weekly.
Absolutely. So, with that, appreciate everyone listening. Hunter, thanks again, my friend. And I will see you Sunday. Peace out, fellas.